Thank you. So Isaiah 35. Depending on the version of the Bible that you have, the Bible that you read, normally when a particular Bible passage has a significant meaning, it is given a subtitle. And the subtitle for this particular passage in Isaiah is subtitled Joy for the Redeemed. I'm just going to put up on the screen for you verse 8 again, hopefully. There we go. So verse 8 said, and a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. And you'll see that I've added John 14, verse 6 below it, because the words of Christ are, I am the way. So what I've done is I've linked the two together, because I believe that what we're looking at in Isaiah here is a promise. And it's a promise for us. And the promise is for us because we walk on the way, and the way is Jesus Christ. We all suffer and we all struggle to find joy when we're suffering. I'm not about to sit here and tell you how to deal with that. I can't possibly imagine what you're going through. And I know that in my own suffering, I'm no expert. I haven't dealt with it at all well in the past, and I still don't in some cases. But what I want to bring you today is something that's been on my heart for some time. And today is the day that I believe God has given me the proper opportunity to share it with you. Normally at this time, post-Easter and these weeks that lead after the resurrection, we'd be looking at three instances of the redemption that Jesus offers. We'd be looking at the men on the road to Emmaus, where they're met by Christ without knowing, and they're filled with sorrow. But Christ opens the scriptures up to them and teaches them about him from the scriptures, and they're redeemed from that sorrow. We learn of Thomas being redeemed from his doubt in Christ when he said, I simply won't believe unless I see him again. And he sees Jesus and he declares that he is God. And we see Simon being redeemed and reinstated by Jesus after his denial, three times denied Jesus, and three times Jesus forgave him and reinstated him as the one that he loved. But as Steve did last week, primarily, I want to take a step or two back and look at some other scenarios that perhaps may be a way for us to look at our own suffering and see if we can find faith in it and find the help that we might need to deal with it ourselves. The first instance that I want to look at is the bleeding woman. It's a story or an account that we all know so well. But I'd like to consider for a moment the culture behind her suffering and the life that she would have had to have led because of it. She'd been bleeding for 12 years, and under Jewish ceremonial law, she would have been deemed unclean. Now, most women who go through a period would have also a period of re-establishing their cleanliness. But because she'd been suffering for 12 years, she had no hope for that. She would have been abandoned by her parents and possibly even wider family. Because she had suffered for this for so long, there was a belief that her sin, or the sin of her generations before, her parents, may have been the reason that she suffered this particular illness. She would have been to see multiple doctors, physicians, and none could heal her. It effectively would have bankrupt her. Healthcare wouldn't have been free. They didn't have an NHS. So she would have sold everything that she had, possibly, in order to pay for her treatment. in selling everything that she had, she probably would have been homeless and would have had to create some kind of home outside of the city that would have stamped her position as an outcast in society. And she would have lived that way for a really long time. Things couldn't really be worse for that woman. She tried everything she could possibly try and got nowhere. And then she had one last chance. Video.
Just the fringe. My touch. One thread, just the edge, only a thread.
You! I know you! Get away from him!
Stop it, please!
Rabbi Yusuf! Rabbi Yusuf!
This woman bleeds. She is unclean. We removed her.
Please, please, I promise I won't touch him. I just need
to. Woman, please, we can help you, but not now.
Sorry. Try tomorrow.
No, please, just a moment. Just Skype.
Who touched me?
Everybody back.
I asked the question. Who touched me?
Master, the crowds are pressing in all around you like this, and you're asking who touched you? They all have.
Someone touched me.
I felt that power went out of me.
Whoever touched me, come forward.
Teacher.
It was me. Just the fringe of your garment, only the edge. I promise, you are not unclean.
Why my garment?
I'm sorry. I know I should have asked. But if you touched me, it would make you ritually unclean according to the law. I was sick. I was sick for 12 years. I bled and no one could stop it. But I believed if I could just touch a piece of your garment. And I was right. I was right. Thank you.
Who told you I could heal?
A man from the pool. And he was right. The blood has ceased.
My daughter.
I'm no one's daughter anymore.
Look up. Yes, you are. Daughter. It wasn't my piece of clothing that healed you.
But it was instant. I felt it right away.
I know, but it wasn't this. It was your faith.
Teacher, she was bleeding so long. We can take her.
She is clean. You have blessed me today. And I know. My daughter, I know it has been a fight for you for so long. You must be exhausted. Go now in peace. Your faith has made you well.
That's something that we will know so well and will have talked about and learnt about for so many years. But to see it dramatized in that way, it hits me hard. Everything that had happened to that woman had taken away, stripped her of every identity that she had until she found Christ, the person that she'd just heard a glancing rumor about, put all of the faith that she had into finding him. And that tiny ounce of faith that she had, in fact, it was a huge amount of faith that she had. She got what she deserved. And she had herself reestablished in God. And she mentioned the man at the pool. And he was another man who'd been suffering for a really, really long time. He was at the pool of Bethesda. And it was a busy place, and many people at the time would have known it and visited, and he'd been paralyzed for 38 years. And he'd been there for the majority, if not all of it. And in that time, he must have seen so many people come and go. Perhaps he even saw others be healed. We don't know. But what we do know from his own lips, when he met Jesus, he said that he had nobody to help him. And every time he tried to get to the pool himself, he got trampled, stood on, beaten down so that other people could get there first. I don't know your situations, and I don't know how many people among us have been long suffering. But this man had been long suffering. I can only imagine some of the questions, some of the curses even that he threw in God's way. And perhaps by the time Jesus actually turned up, he wasn't even looking for God anymore. But God was looking for him. How difficult can it be when we know that God can heal our suffering and know he hears us, but still we suffer? Well, I can't think of any better example to give you than Jesus. Just last week, we learned about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And from Luke chapter 22, we read, he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." I've prayed that prayer myself in the past. But what I have not done is said, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." And it can be difficult for us, being in the situations that we are and the suffering that we have, to submit to God's will. There is a selfishness for us to not want to suffer, and it is very human. I'd like to play another video for you now. It's a fictional conversation, and it's important to bear that in mind, but it highlights biblical truths and principles of Christ. What I hope from you watching the video, as I know many others who have seen this have done themselves, is find peace in the Holy Spirit. And I really hope and pray that you can find that peace from this video.
Yeah, just to add to that, as I start this video, I realized I didn't move on ready for this next one. So I might have to do a little bit of work on it before you can watch it. My apologies if that's true.
Let it go through to the end. Bear with us, everybody. Yeah. We'll get there. So there we go. Okay, here we go.
Wanted to ask you a question.
Please?
So you're sending us out with the ability to heal the sick and lame. Yes, that is what you said.
Yes.
So you're telling me that I have the ability to heal. Forgive me, I just find that difficult to imagine with my condition, which you haven't healed.
Do you want to be healed?
Yes, of course, if that's possible.
I think you've seen enough to know it's possible.
Why haven't you?
Because I trust you.
What?
Little James. Precious little James. I need you to listen to me very carefully. Because what I'm going to say defines your whole life to this point, and will define the rest of your life. Do you understand? In the Father's will, I could heal you. Right now. And you'd have a good story to tell, yes?
Yes, that you do miracles.
And that's a good story. But there are already dozens who can tell that story. And there will be hundreds more, even thousands. But think of the story that you have, especially in this journey to come, if I don't heal you. To know how to proclaim that you still praise God in spite of this. To know how to focus on all that matters, so much more than the body. To show people that you can be patient with your suffering here on earth because you know you'll spend eternity with no suffering. Not everyone can understand that. How many people do you think the Father and I trust this with? Not many.
But the others, there's so much more.
So much more what?
I don't know. Stronger? Better at this?
James, I love you. But I don't want to hear that ever again.
I know how easy it is to say the Song of David. That I've fearfully and wonderfully made. But it doesn't make this any easier. And in this group, it doesn't make me feel like any less of a burden.
A burden? First of all, it is far easier to deal with your slow walking than it is to deal with Simon's temper. Trust me. Are you fast? Do you look impressive when you walk? Maybe not. But these are things the Father doesn't care about. You are going to do more for me than most people ever dream. So many people need healing in order to believe in me. Or they need healing because their hearts are so sick. That doesn't apply to you. And many are healed or not healed because the Father in heaven has a plan for them, which may be a mystery. And we remember what Job said. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you pass from this earth, and you meet your Father in heaven, where Isaiah promises you will leap like a deer, your reward will be great. So hold on a little longer. And when you discover yourself finding true strength because of your weakness, and when you do great things in my name, in spite of this, the impact will last for generations. Do you understand?
Yes.
Again, another quite powerful video for me. And there's two things that I'd like to point out from the video. The first is that James, the disciple that Jesus is speaking with, refers to the Psalm of David. It's actually Psalm 139. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. And in Jesus' response, he quotes Isaiah. And I'll quote the full two verses rather than just the small section. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And how can we respond to that promise? Well, it is a promise. When we reach the fullness of God's kingdom, there will be no more suffering. We will live out our redemption for eternity, leaping like deer and singing with joy. But how can we praise God under this suffering until that time? Although I've just asked that question, I actually struggled to bring this last part of the sermon to you. Because we all have our own struggles. And I could sit here and I could talk to you about mine. But as I said at the beginning of this sermon, I'm not a great example. I'm not. But many years ago, I found out about a guy. I found out about a guy who had been through quite a period of suffering himself. And I'm going to bring that man to you now, because I think he should be an inspiration to us all. His name is Nick Vujicic.
Vujicic.
He was born in 1982 without limbs, arms and legs, and no medical explanation for it. At 8 years old, he made a suicide attempt and tried to drown himself in his bathtub. At age 15, he read John chapter 9, the account of the man who was born blind and his encounter with Jesus. And the man said, "Why me?" And Jesus' response was, "It was done so that the works of God would be revealed through him." Now, this man, Nick, has had a tough life. But let me tell you a bit about him to date. He's traveled to 78 countries. He's presented on 3,500 stages to crowds as large as 800,000 people. He primarily shares his faith and works with education ministries in youth anti-bullying. He's met 25 presidents, prime ministers and vice presidents, whilst addressing rescued human traffic victims and orphans. And he is all about his faith and what God has given him in his life. And I'd like to share just a few quotes from him. "Quickly, I realized that God held me, even when I hated him, screamed at him, and refused to talk with him, he still loved me. If God can use a man without arms and legs to be his hands and feet, then he will certainly use any willing heart. God has not given me the miracle that I asked for, but I can still be his miracle for somebody else. I still keep a pair of trainers in my wardrobe just in case. You'll see the photo in the top left-hand corner of this presentation is him sitting with a man called Dallas Jenkins. And you'll see a still from the video that we have watched. And unfortunately, I couldn't play the video of him having that interview with you. I would have loved to have done, but it's about 20 minutes long and we just don't have the time. If you'd like to watch it, then I can provide a link to you, whether that be by email or any other means. Maybe you know him, maybe you don't. But I don't think I know a better example, in my own opinion, of someone who just knows what God's given him and knows how to use it. Thank you.